going on, everybody? It's your buddy, it's Pals Pass Phoenix, the YWC Reality Check, and I'm back with another news podcast. I don't do news podcasts, and we're doing two in 1 week. It must be Rumble week. And no, I'm not going to talk about what everybody else is talking about, because speculation and accusation with no evidence is dangerous. So no, I'm not going to talk about what you all want me to talk about, and if you're one of those, just go touch some grass. I am, however, going to talk about speculation towards WrestleMania, because that's fiction. You can speculate on fiction, because you're not hurting anybody. Anyways, so, big deal. Are we getting Rock Roman? Are we getting Cody Roman? Are we getting Punk Rollins, etc., etc., etc.? Now, the big spanner in the works, obviously, is that Rollins got injured. Now, apparently, he says he's going to be back in a month because he's foregoing surgery. I mean, that's awesome news for us, but is it great news for him? I don't know. I applaud the dedication, etc. But apparently, there was a Sports Illustrated article that sheds some new light on the subject. Now, what I'm about to read to you guys, again, much like the Kazuchika Okada stuff we talked about last time, it's sort of reported and de-reported in the same listing. Once again, I'm on NoDQ, so quick shout out to NoDQ and Aaron Rift and all those people over there, because this kind of speculates towards this and then pulls away from it at the same time. So I'm going to give you both sides of the coin. Aaron Rift posted this to NoDQ. He is quoting Justin Barrasso of SportsIllustrated.com, or SI.com, who stated the following about Cody Rhodes' current creative direction for WrestleMania 40. Multiple sources close to WWE head creative Triple H Levesque have indicated that Rhodes will not be headlining this year's event, nor will he, in quotes, finish his story at WrestleMania. But there's a new chapter to write. I like the metaphor there. With a marquee matchup to be had, against CM Punk. The Sports Illustrated article listed Cody versus Punk, Roman Reigns versus The Rock, and Seth Rollins versus Gunther as the potential triple main event for the WrestleMania card. The Twitter account WrestleVotes wrote the following in regarding Sports Illustrated's story. Regarding the Sports Illustrated WrestleMania 40 report, after speaking to a few of my contacts, I believe the following. Those three matches could absolutely happen in Philadelphia. However, the, in quotes, set in stone nature of the article is a little naive, so I have been told. Sources have also relayed the fact that WWE is not happy with the report in general, especially labeling it as sources close to Triple H, as if he would ever be so open about this type of specific information. Now, here's the thing. Here's the three matches you're getting. Oh no, wait, you might not be getting those matches. But let's talk about those matches as they sit. Cody versus Roman. Cody versus Roman has only ever been promised to you by the fictional character Cody Rhodes. Said he was going to finish his story because he's been wronged last year, whatever. He was booked to lose. And a lot of the fans, I hate to draw comparisons and I hate to be like, this person is another version of that person and whatever, because I'll tell you this much for free. Even though he's not my favorite guy, I have a lot more respect for Cody Rhodes than I have for Sasha Banks. But this is some real Sasha Banks mentality. My guy lost a match, a fictional match, on a fictional show. Therefore, I'm the victim. Sasha Banks literally said, I am a fictional character on a show where my character was written to lose and therefore I'm the victim. And then she went and shat her pants and went to New Japan and hurt herself. So, I mean, there's a bit of karma there, but whatever. But this idea that WWE's doing us all dirty if Cody Rhodes doesn't finish the story and main event WrestleMania and end the bloodline and get a title, like, do you know the amount of high-end, high-caliber, historic wrestling figures that would have wanted one of those to main event WrestleMania, or to win a title, or to be the one that ends a story like the Bloodline, or to live to the age of a two-night WrestleMania and be the last face that people see? Any one of those things, a lot of people would be happy with, and there's a lot of people out there acting like Cody Rhodes has been done wrong if he doesn't get all of them. Now, is Cody Rhodes the champion? Is Cody Rhodes their next John Cena? Probably. Whether I like him or not, Cody Rhodes is clearly John Cena 2.0, to use an NXT joke. I'm fine with that. He's good at it, if good at that is a thing. But he... Okay, I'm gonna use the word debuted here. yes, Cody Rhodes was there before. Yes, he was dashing and deranged and Stardust and all that, and then he fucked off. But I'm saying this version, this current version, which he himself admits is a completely different Cody Rhodes. This Cody Rhodes right now got to debut at WrestleMania against Seth Rollins. This Cody Rhodes got injured. It's not his fault. He got a prime feud with Seth Rollins on day one. He injured himself during that feud. He had to fuck off for a while. Not his fault. Injuries happen. But he disappeared for a while. Came in at number 30 at the Rumble. Swept over Gunther, who we're going to talk about in a second, who marathoned through the whole fucking thing. He should have been the Rhea Ripley that year, but Rhea Ripley was the Rhea Ripley that year. He got that Mania main event with Roman. He got played the victim by WWE and the fans for an entire year. And he's still right up there, right as, like, he's the guy. He's, even if he doesn't face Roman, he's the guy that's gonna face Roman. But, like, you can't say that this guy has been misused. You really can't. And I do harp on this because I do think it was one of the first steps to getting the current WWE that we have right now. The Bloodline is probably one of the coolest things WWE has done in 20 years. As far as long-term story, as far as, you know, sticking to a plan, diverting when they needed to divert, you know, the unexpected addition of Sami Zayn, the breakup, the comeback together, the gaslighting character of Roman Reigns, finally turning Roman Reigns heel, this massive title run that he's on. About two-thirds of that happened when Cody Rhodes was still in AEW, actively trying to tear down WWE. The fact that people are saying he now deserves to be the one to put the nail in that coffin is weird to me. Now, is that his fault? No. Is that WWE's fault? Kind of, because they've leaned on it a lot. The fans are weird, man. The fans are really weird. I'm sorry, if you want to follow the Bloodline from point dot to now, the person that should take down Roman Reigns is Jey Uso. Now, we're probably going to get Jimmy versus Jey at WrestleMania, and that's going to be awesome. So, that's something they want, that's something they've been striving for, and that's something they're getting this year at WrestleMania. So, I'm not going to harp on that, because they're getting the brother versus brother, they're getting the, oh my god, the Hardys are finally facing each other at WrestleMania moment. Ridiculously happy for those guys, they absolutely deserve it. But, like, It's not the only story being told, and Cody Rhodes is not the only wrestler we need to worry about, realistically speaking. People used to say all the time, as a hammer to beat Vince McMahon over the head with, he was always accused of walking into a room, going up to the whiteboard, writing John Cena on the whiteboard, let's figure out what we're doing for John Cena, the rest will sort itself out. The fans themselves are now doing that with Cody Rhodes. And it's making it really hard for me to get into Cody Rhodes, because I am getting into Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes is a lot of fun. And the stuff with him and Punk this week on Raw, which we're going to talk about in a second, was fantastic. Like I said, in the last video that I did when I talked about this before, in one promo, that became the biggest match WWE can give us. It's bigger. Cody Rhodes versus CM Punk, for all the implied reasons, for all the WWE reasons, for all the outside of WWE reasons, Cody Rhodes versus CM Punk is the biggest match WWE can give us right now. It just is. It's bigger than Roman versus The Rock, even though I want to see Roman versus The Rock. It's bigger than Seth Rollins versus Gunther. With all due respect to both of those guys, Gunther making the Intercontinental Championship look like $1 million, he's probably, if this is to be believed, he's going to pull an Ultimate Warrior and go in as the Intercontinental Champion to go for the world title, which is another awesome story, because it makes him going in with the Intercontinental Championship while he's holding it, while he's proving him that he deserves to be in the main event picture, means that the Intercontinental Championship gets to feel like a main event championship again. That's awesome. This is really cool. This is a really good collection of things. And much like when The Rock versus John Cena main evented the first time they fought at WrestleMania over the titles, I'm sorry, but if CM Punk is facing Cody Rhodes, that's bigger than either title. It really is. You got two titles, so you get to feed both audiences. You have the sports entertainment audience and the wrestling audience. I hate using that parlance, but it works for this example. You got the superstars and you got the wrestlers. You got a superstar match between Roman Reigns and The Rock. That serves your Fed heads, that serves your sports entertainment guys, that serves your nostalgia guys, that serves your Attitude Era guy. Whatever happened to the Attitude Era? It's right there. The Rock. The Rock looking bigger than The Rock ever has. You know that picture that we see all the time. Rock in Hollywood versus Rock when he was a full-time wrestler. Only The Rock can make The Rock look like a pussy. Like, all that shit is right there. That's for those people. That match, in a lot of ways, is going to be for me. On the other side of the coin, you've got the wrestling match. Remember when it was John Cena versus The Rock, and then on the other side of the coin, you had CM Punk and Chris Jericho. Oh, you're not supposed to talk about Chris Jericho these days. Fuck off. But that was like, you got your superstar match and you got your wrestler match. You got your wrestler match with Seth Rollins versus Gunther. Awesome story to tell there. Gunther is an absolute tank who's walking in as a challenger with a championship to a wounded Seth Rollins. That is a fantastic story to tell. That is a, you know, somebody we weren't talking about until this week, being in the title picture, and everybody for the past year or so has talked about, oh, Gunther's got to be getting into that title picture soon. Look how well he's been doing with the Intercontinental Championship. And now we're going to get it. And he's bringing the Intercontinental Championship with him. And then you've got the match that's bigger than title matches. But the match that's bigger than title matches is a wrestling match. Now, like I say, before, in the other years beforehand, when the match that was bigger than the titles was two superstars, two sports entertainers, look at what we got this year where, oh my God, the indie guys, the guys that went to New Japan and ROH and AEW, oh my God, I said AEW, and all the guys that, you know, went wherever else they went, that wasn't WWE, that would be scraping on the undercard if it was Daniel Bryan getting his head kicked off in 18 seconds by Sheamus. They have become the thing. They have become the match that is bigger than the superstar match, that is bigger than the title match, that is bigger than both matches that revolve around championships with those big, ugly WWE stamps on them. Is this not the best of all angles, the best of all options, the best of all worlds, however you want to say it? I really hope this is true, and WWE are just acting pissed so that when we actually get it, they can still present it as somewhat of a surprise. Because Gunther, unless, like, if we didn't read dirt sheets, and let's be real, if you didn't listen to guys like me regurgitating the dirt sheets, you wouldn't have really thought that Gunther was going to win. Gunther would be the guy that's like, oh man, if it wasn't for Cody Rhodes and CM Punk being in there, Gunther's somebody I'd really like to see get it one day. What if the guy that you want to get it one day is the guy that gets it today? And then you build two other matches away from that. Let him have his moment. Let the superstars have their moment. Let's be real for a second. I just said I was really happy about the two Uso brothers getting to fight each other. How about the Anoa'i, I'm pretty sure I'm pronouncing that wrong, cousins getting to fight each other? That's also awesome. Remember a time when Roman Reigns was so hated, was so Cena 2.0'd in the wrong way, that even The Rock coming out to raise his hand at the end of a Rumble couldn't save him? Now, we've got the best version of the Roman Reigns that we've ever had, where we're going to be behind him, even though he's the heel, against the absolute superstar, celebrity, juggernaut that The Rock has become. And he owns part of TKO now, which is absolutely fine. I don't get how anybody can be against this. I don't get how, even if you're a weirdo, even if you are the AEW guy that backs Cody, because even within the WWE system, Cody's still the AEW guy, and you want to see the AEW guy get a WWE title. Even if you're one of those weirdos coming from that perspective, are you not happy that him and another AEW guy in CM Punk, if Tony Khan hadn't fucked him in the ass, are main eventing WrestleMania? How can you be against this? I don't get it. This is awesome. I really hope it's true. Big shout out to Justin Barrasso of SI.com and Aaron Rift of NoDQ for, I guess, regurgitating it onto his site as well. Big shout out to WrestleVotes and their two cents on sort of like the pullback of the story, even though I hope it's not a pullback of the story. Because we used to laugh a lot when they said, oh, WrestleMania's got 3-4 main events, and it was really just they wanted to make three matches feel big. Remember, Punk fought Undertaker one year on a WrestleMania that had like five main events or whatever. But spread them out over two nights, and yeah, I'm sorry, Becky and Rhea and Bayley and Io deserve their main events too, but we can't make a five-night WrestleMania. It is what it is. But if you want to tell me that Gunther Rollins, Rock Roman, and Cody Punk is not a proper, bona fide WrestleMania triple main event, then I don't know what to tell you. You're watching WWE for the wrong reasons, and you're probably angry on Twitter today. That's all I got on that. The other thing I want to talk about is the sort of like the fallout from the WWE slash Netflix news that I talked about yesterday. Now, let's be real. This is not my job. This is something I do for fun. I don't make a fucking dollar doing this. So I go do my real job, my boring job, my forklift job. It's good times. Me at 7 a.m. on a forklift. Don't think about it too much. And then I come home and then I do whatever I want to talk to you guys about tonight. So I sat at work all day yesterday watching, or was it yesterday or was it 2 days ago? I don't know. Watching Twitter blow up, watching social media blow up, Facebook blow up, all the mainstream media sources and outlets blowing up about WWE and Netflix and what that meant. And Netflix is going to have Raw, and then they're eventually going to have SmackDown and NXT, and then they're eventually going to have the PLEs on there and whatever. And I said, and I don't think I was going out on a limb here, but if America has the network on Peacock and the rest of the world has the network on Netflix, then the proper WWE network doesn't really exist anymore. And I said, you know, just, it is what it is. So, reading an article on, I want to send a shout out to What Culture. Big surprise. Big fan of What Culture. Jamie Kennedy of What Culture regurgitating, I got to find a better word than that, news from Dave Meltzer, or at least speculation from Dave Meltzer. Dave Meltzer has reported via the Wrestling Observer Radio that the WWE Network will be shut down and come to an end as of the end of 2024. A whole bunch of the archived content will be shifted over to Netflix right away, but the current Peacock model in the US will continue to run as normal until that deal expires in 2026. So for once, it's the Americans that are going to be on the back foot and the rest of us that are going to get shit first. I like that. I don't have anything against America, but normally it's like, let's sort out what we're doing in America and then we'll tell the rest of the world what we're doing eventually. Not being snarky, it is what it is. But on the other side of the coin, WWE is an American company, so maybe that's kind of how it should be. This means the international network, which has been running since 2014, will cease to exist. Meltzer's sources tell him Netflix will pick up the content, quote unquote. The Observer chief isn't exactly sure how much Netflix will want, though. It's possible that they won't want to transfer over absolutely everything from the network servers, but most of the archival content is expected to be there. Fingers crossed, this means every PLE, WCW programming, ECW shows, and more. WWE Network has been a wonderful research tool for fans and industry insiders alike, so it would be a shame if Netflix is only concerned with the current day product and ignored WWE's rich history. Now, I'm of two minds on that. You guys know one of the things I've been doing on here, and I've got another one coming up in March, is the NXT Rewind series, where I'm looking back and the old takeovers. And part of the reason I did that was COVID. Let's be real. I was bored. I needed something new to do. But also, like, NXT being what it is, it's still not takeover. And I miss the takeover days. Outside of that, I don't watch a lot of old content, I'll be honest. I very much live in the, what's happening in wrestling is what's happening right now, is what happened two nights ago on Raw, what's happening tomorrow night on SmackDown, etc. So if it was just the current shows and the current pay-per-views, it would probably be enough for me, but it would be nice to have the option to look back at stuff as well. WWE had additionally introduced a new layout for the network last summer, but it was met with the derision of very many users. Soon, those same folks will be scouring Netflix instead. 2024 will be the network's final year. So, WWE Network as it exists right now, which is the network for the rest of us, and shifted over to Peacock, for our American friends, the network outside of Peacock won't exist. It'll be on Netflix, which is really weird. I said it last pod, and I'll say it again here. If I can add a couple bucks to my Netflix subscription and dump one subscription entirely, I'm going to do it. Because financially, it just makes sense. And I'm sure that's what WWE's thinking as well. But also, I'm going to get into repeating my takes now. But WWE created the WWE Network and said, hey, all you WWE fans, here's a bucket of WWE stuff. Now you've gone to a much bigger bucket of people that watch anything on something as big as Netflix. And you've said, hey, you people watching everything, your everything now includes our stuff if you want. Now, when they moved over to Peacock in the States, I remember there was a bunch of articles put out and a bunch of analysis put in. You know, the minute that they joined Peacock, how much did Peacock subscriptions go up? Netflix is fucking massive. I don't think the influx is going to be percentage-wise that impressive because Netflix is just a thing. It's like, what did Russell Brand say? It's just another thing that's there, like air and butter. But I would be interested to see if anybody even looks at what the subscription numbers are from December 31st, 2024 to January 1st, 2025. Because I bet you anything, and I like the day one concept. I don't care what day of the week it is. I bet you anything for their debut on Netflix, January 1st, 2025, WWE is going to do some kind of pay-per-view. Some kind of streaming event. I think the first event on the WWE Network was an NXT show. NXT Arrival, I think it was, actually. Now, sorry, I totally trailed off there. So that's pretty... It sort of solidified something I was already saying, to get back to my initial point. If everybody's going to be watching it on Netflix, and the Americans are still going to be watching it on Peacock, then the WWE Network as a singular entity is not going to exist anymore. Which makes sense, because if I can watch it on Netflix, why would I bother? Anyways, so sort of solidified what we already said. Now, a lot of the more obscure, like I know WWF, WCW, ECW, NXT... All those libraries will probably move over. Now, the other smaller companies that WWE picked up along the way, their libraries, etc., will all of them move over? Maybe, maybe not. It's like a niche of a niche. It'll be interesting to see. It will be interesting to see. I said it in the last pod. This is big. Don't ask me if it's good or bad, because right now I can tell you it's big. January 1st, 2025, I can tell you if it's good or not. How about that? One other thing that's really interesting, and somebody just not reading their calendars properly, is Raw is going to be homeless for 3 months, it looks like. As previously noted, going back to No DQ now, as previously noted, WWE Raw will be moving to Netflix January of 2025, and it was reported by SportsBusinessJournal.com that the deal is believed to be over or above $5 billion over 10 years. WWE's contract with USA Network for Raw expires September 30th of 2024. According to Brandon Thurston of WrestleNomics.com, an official from the network stated that they will not be airing Raw for the last 3 months of 2024. During the Wrestling Observer Radio, Dave Meltzer of F4W Online discussed the situation. I guess the unanswered question is what happens to Raw after the end of September this year, because in January it's going to Netflix, and at the end of September, the USA contract is up. The USA Network has told Brandon Thurston that they are not airing anything after September, so it's not likely they're going to get three more months on USA. WWE told me that they will make an announcement about that relatively soon, so I guess they have something cooking. What it is, I don't know. Maybe they'll go to Netflix early. I'm not really sure. Now, I don't know anything. You guys know me. I watch a show. I tell you what I thought of the show. That's the extent of my coverage normally. But I do think that the solution is relatively simple. If Netflix starts in January, you still have the WWE Network for October, November, December. Why? And it's your network. You can put whatever you want on it. If Raw doesn't have a home for October, November, December, why don't you just put the last 3 months of Raw on the WWE Network? Now, what you can do is you can answer some other questions in that time, because it's not TV, it's your own platform, it's your own stream, it's your own whatever. What you can do is, beginning in October, you can show people what that show is going to look like on Netflix. If it's not going to be 3 hours anymore, you can start it off at that new length. If it's going to be commercial free, you can show people what that looks like. If you're going to start plastering ads and whatever all over the ring canvas, then you can do that. If it's going to move to a different night, you can fuck around with that. It's your network. It's your network schedule. You can do whatever the heck you like. If they're smart, and if it's possible, and if all the things that I'm not aware of, because I'm not a broadcast technician and I'm not a broadcast business person, if you want my opinion from totally outside the box, if you don't have anywhere to put Raw between September and January of 2025, put it on the network, but make whatever changes you're going to make to it right then, because the people that are letting their WWE network run out, and for whoever out there doesn't have Netflix, it might just be a way of saying, hey, you might want to pick up Netflix because this is what we're doing with Raw. And if this is what we're doing with Raw, imagine what we're going to do with SmackDown and NXT when those contracts run out. And hey, you might get a new, different look at things of what our pay-per-views might look like from now on. And then you get into the boring stuff. The stuff that I'm not really interested in is if TKO is also bringing UFC to Netflix, that's an entirely other story, but, you know, experiment with that as well. Hell, if TKO wants to do some free advertising, put a couple of UFC shows on the WWE network before it dies and say, hey, you like all of this? We're going over to Netflix. Come join the party. Whole lot of speculation on my part, a whole lot of really clearing up some loose ends, and it's sort of a cleanup from yesterday's news. Yesterday's news, the fact that WWE was going to Netflix at all was the huge thing. This is nitpicking the odd details here and there, but I thought it was interesting enough to talk about. And like I said, the triple main event potentially for WrestleMania is absolutely fucking awesome. If you can't see that, I'm not going to tell you you're wrong, but you are. It is what it is. I've been Spaz, your YWC Reality Check. Subscribe up there, talk down there, start a conversation. Keep all these conversations going. Don't be a stranger. I'll talk to each and every last one of you later, but for right now, I am tagging out. Bye.